Tomorrow, the Saints are taking on the Rams in preseason game number 2 in SoFi Stadium. WWL's game day starts 11 a.m. Me and Charlie Long for First Take to Who Dat Nation's time to check in from your tailgate party. Then at 1 o'clock, the countdown to kickoff with Bobby Hebert. Game time, 3 p.m. Turn down those TVs and turn up Deuce and Hoss on the call with Jeff Nowak on the sideline. Then after the game, join the Cajun Cannon for the point after till 9 p.m. Saints-Rams, 10 hours of wall-to-wall Saints coverage tomorrow on WWL Saints Radio, and of course, always on the free Odyssey app. We're talking about the joint workout yesterday between the Saints and the Rams gearing up for this preseason matchup tomorrow. We got Deuce and Jeff Nowak out in California joining us here today on the show, breaking down things. And, you know, it's easy to look at the stats from these old practices. They're always the sexy thing to talk about, whether it's, you know, the big catches, the touchdowns, or even, you know, getting sacks on the quarterback. But I'm curious from you guys to know how the battle in the trenches went along the offensive defensive lines for the Saints against the Rams and also the Cowboys. I wonder how you felt about that.
Well, so I can talk about the defense against the Cowboys, and I can talk about the offense against the Rams. Those are the sides that I looked at. And, you know, a defensive line against the Cowboys was kind of interesting because they had some chunk runs. You know, and I think one of the reasons you had fights on both sides of the ball, it was very, very reminiscent on both fields, is felt like the offenses early on were having a lot of success. And then the defenses decided, no, this isn't going to fly. We're going to ramp up the physicality. And the offenses took exception to that, and you had fights. But I did feel like the Saints' defense in the trenches specifically really kind of clamped down. You didn't see a ton outside of a few chunk runs. I think the first one was from Javonte Williams. And I thought beyond that point, you saw them have a lot of success. Christian Boyd, I thought, had a good day. Devon Gaucho didn't practice on Tuesday. He did on Thursday. But then I also feel like what you saw in terms of the pass rush was the Cowboys – which is not the case for every defense in these situations, or offense in these situations, but they went into the day with a plan. We're going to take Chase Young away. We're going to send tight end, running back, someone over to help, and we're going to see if Carl Granderson can beat us or whoever is on the other side can beat us. And what I thought I came away encouraged with is Carl Granderson won that matchup pretty consistently. He was getting pressure on Dak Prescott throughout the practice, and that's what you have to see, because when you're as talented as Chase Young is and you go into a matchup as the featured guy, you're going to get circled by the other team's offensive line. You're going to be a focal point of that protection plan. The guy on the other side has to win and force them to say, hey, we might not be able to leave this guy one-on-one. So that's what I was pleased about with the Saints' defensive line.
Yeah, and just to follow up, Jeff, on one of those comments, there was a big play that Dallas hit down the field, but after seeing a different angle of that throw that Dak made, it probably would have been a sack.
Yeah.
That probably would have been
a sack. That's always the tough thing in these practices, right?
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of times those guys, they start to pull up or they run right by them, you know, and so when you look at it, one of those throws that Dak made, which ended up being a big play down the field, it was probably going to be a sack, or I don't know if Dak would have been able to sit in the pocket and make the throw, or if he would have gotten everything on the football kind of like he did.
I can tell you the Saints defensive line would think it was a sack.
Well, 100%. 100%. The Saints defensive line would have said, I would have got there.
Yeah.
And so you know that's how they're going to feel about it. Now, on the flip side for me, I kind of tried to cheat the drill and split and watch both sides of it. So your head is always on a swivel. And most of the time you're going to miss something. When you do that,
especially when there's a fight breaking out.
There's a fight every other play, and so now I'm looking at the fight, and then the other side is running a play, and then you kind of miss some stuff right there because you're watching the fight and making sure it doesn't escalate over there by you. But just going back for me to the Dallas just practice in general, I agree with Jeff. The first period, the Saints offensive line won that battle. The Saints offense, period, won that battle. When in the first set of plays, whether that was 10 or 12, the second two, it probably took the Saints at least two periods to say, all right, we're going to pick this up. Now, in between, there were some scuffles and fights, but I thought Dallas got more physical those second two periods. Now, the Saints, I counted every back, even Alvin when he was in there before he got hurt, every back had at least a plus 10 run, and it probably would have been more than that, you know, and that's just, you know, you getting through the front line, safety touching you, and you one-on-one with either a corner and or safety. That's a plus 10 run for me. And at some point, you're going to have to win one of those matchups. And so whether you were talking – the only guy that didn't have that was C.J. Donaldson. And the only reason he didn't have it, he didn't get the reps that the other backs got. And so that was our first time seeing Kendre. That was also your first time seeing Devin Neal back out there. And, you know, obviously Alvin, and then also for the Saints, it was – I think it was
–
well, Travis as well as Todd Chandler. Yeah. I mean, and so all of those guys popped the run for me over those next two periods. But if I was being honest, the second and the third, they were almost like play for play, where the offense would do some good, Dallas defense would do something good. Offensive line held up. They did hold up. They gave you some running lanes. But as we all know, there were probably some situations where I know two – Tyler probably threw the ball in the ground, or he would have gotten sacked. You know, if I, overall, out of how many plays? 80 plays offensively. If he was in for 50 to 40, there probably would have been at least six sacks by Dallas.
You know, it's interesting because it's something that's happened in this camp that I didn't expect is, to this point, I feel like the Saints offensive line has been better run blocking than pass blocking.
No, I agree.
It's not what
you.
I expected to see. And I mean, David Edwards is obviously an upgrade at the left guard spot. But just generally, all of these practices, I felt like the Saints have run the ball very well.
When you talk about joint practice,
yes,
or practices in general,
it's tough to gauge the real practices practices at home where it's the offense going against the defense, because just the physicality doesn't reach the level that it reaches in these joint practices.
So in the joint practices, I would agree with you. I mean, because going now I jumped to Thursday. There was a run that Ty Chandler had on the outside zone.
House call.
I mean, it would have been 40 yards. It would have been 40 yards, 50 yards. And I told Fuaga and I told Caesar, man, you can't draw this play up. And if you do draw it up, they ought to put it up on the board for the team to see it. I mean, because it was perfect. Those two were the focal. But then you talk about the receivers, the tight ends, and even the cutoff blocks on the backside. Everybody had a job to do, and they did their job. And so I don't know who the receivers were in on that play, but everybody did their job on that. And then you go back and you look at it, it's like, all right, man, you know, Kendre. Oh, man, look at Devin. You look at some of those runs, they had consistently good runs. And so, look, I would be foolish to say no, the Rams didn't have tackle for losses, or they didn't have, no gainers, because they did. Everything wasn't perfect. But if you're the Saints, every run is not going to be 4 or 5 yards a clip. It's just not going to happen, and particularly when you're rotating different guys in. But I think that they are pleased with some of the progress that they have had when you talk about the run game in general. Now, you go to the passing game. Tyler didn't have an interception. He didn't have a turnover. You know, the one thing that I would probably, and I always fuss about it, is I would like to see them go vertical a little bit more. There were probably three throws down the field that I wanted them to take. I wanted to see if Bud Means could catch, you know, the deep ball. They didn't throw it to, they threw it to him once. They didn't connect on it. There were two other times, and there was one that they did connect on to Trey Palmer on the left sideline. Excuse me. There was another
Zach Wilson on the throw for that one.
There was Zach Wilson on the throw. There was another one that I wanted them to test Barry and Brown down the middle. Now, for the most part, the underneath throw was there. I get that. I don't argue with 7 yards. But I need to know if those guys can catch those one-on-one situations. I need to know if we can make those one-on-one situations where you are hitting the explosive plays, because that's the one thing that this offense lacked. When you think about it last year, that is the one thing that they lacked. Yep. And so now you've got guys, not to say that they couldn't run last year, but you've got guys that can run. And on all those throws, it's not pressure. There were situations where there was pressure and we took a sack. You know, there was pressure off the right side. The receiver has to speed up his route a little bit, or the quarterback, he can't wait for one guy to get it open. I got to look to my outlet immediately to the left and get rid of the football. But, I mean, just little things like that where my offensive line, they've picked it up. If I am going to blitz you, you can't just tell me, oh, I'm fine with picking up 3 yards. I got to make you pay.
Right.
And that's the one thing I think when you talk about growth – for a team, and whether it's the offensive line or quarterback or backs or receivers in general, it's being able to hit those explosive plays and not just a guy breaking a tackle or that something
right, like
that. It's
going to be catch and run, but it can't got, all be catch and run.
That part.
Right.
I'm fine with yak yardage, but I've got to be able to say, all right, we hit a 30-yarder, and my receiver only had to run 5 yards for the touchdown because it was a perfect throw and it was on the money.
What I was encouraged by yesterday, and honestly over the last week, you know, it wasn't until the Jacksonville practice that Bryce Lance caught his first pass from Tyler Shuck in training camp. He hadn't really been getting first-team reps, but, you know, over the last week, you've seen that a lot. He was targeted 6 times by Tyler on Thursday. He caught 5 of them, 2 of them for touchdowns. Another one was a 20-yard gain over the middle of the field. And I think, to me, one of the things that's making the downfield passing a little hard to get to is the guys you need to throw to downfield are rookies. Right? Unless you're throwing to Chris Olave, which you're targeting him a lot. But, you know, who are those other guys that are stretching the field? It's Berrion Brown. It's Bryce Lance, guys you haven't had a lot of time on task with. How much are you going to trust them? And that's why, you know, I see Bryce Lance get 6 targets. To me, that indicates Tyler and Bryce are kind of getting on the same page a little bit, and that's going to help a lot.
But when I look at it, because here's the situation, just because of with Jordan Tyson not being available, I've got to know what I have in 16. I've got to know what I have in Bud Means. I've got to know what I have in Trey Palmer. Because I may be depending on one of those guys to be a guy that can stretch the field. Yes, I'm depending on the rookies, but they're still rookies.
Yeah.
They're still rookies. So I've got to know if I have something in Bud Means and Trey Palmer, you know. Not to say that they weren't going to make the team, but they have an opportunity, a true opportunity to make this squad now. And I don't know if it's both or either or. So that's why I want to see what they can do with some down the field throws. Because if I told you right now, and I ask you this, who are your top gunners for this team right now?
That's a good question.
Who are your top gunners for this team right now? Because I know one already.
Ike.
So you're going with Ike as one?
I feel like Ike has to be one. And if he's not, then I wonder if Ike has a spot on the roster. I kind of feel like he has to be. I don't know. I feel like Jaden Price.
I was going to put Price in there.
Yeah.
So give me. We've got two gunners.
Yeah.
You've got one being Ike.
Has to be, yeah.
And your other one is Price
kind of,
or
kind of an
Bud
open
Means.
Competition. I feel like Bud Means has to be in the mix there. If Ty Chandler made the roster, I'd consider him, but I think he's on the fringe there. I think he's going to have a tough time cracking that 4-man, you know, running back room. 22. So Martin Emerson Jr. That's your vote, Haas.
Haas, who's your other? That's just one. I need two. It's two of them out there. And Steve, you've got to give me your two.
And Ike Adams. So you think the backup cornerbacks are the gunners?
Are your two gunners? And Steve, who are your top two gunners? Not one. I want your top two gunners.
I'm definitely looking at Price, and I think Yadam as well too, just because you're trying to keep both of those guys around.
And I wouldn't say both of you are wrong. I wouldn't say all three of you are wrong.
But you're wrong.
But one of your gunners. One of your gunners is rookie. He's a 4-3 guy. I can't even.
Bryce Lance?
No, not that one. Styles. Lorenzo Styles. Lorenzo Styles is one of your gunners. And your other gunner, if it's not Ike, it's probably going to be Bud Means.
Yeah.
But that's only if Bud gives me something and he can make a tackle or play.
I'm a little, you know, I'm a very superstitious guy. And I'm a little worried for him tomorrow. The last 2 times he's walked into that building, he's left with a season-ending ankle injury. Like, I don't know if he's aware of that, but I'm, like, stressed out for him.
Well, if he isn't aware, I don't want him to listen.
Right,
to be listening to us right now.
I'm not bringing it up to him.
Yeah, I don't want he to be listening right now to us talk about it. But when you look at it, I don't think it's Emerson in that mix. And Ty Chandler, he's on that squad, but he's up back.
Okay.
He's a personal protector, and he can play the wing for him. But the two guys on the outside, if I am going to make that team, I feel good about Styles being one of those guys because, not to say you're going to cut him, that's what he has to do.
Yeah.
And the other one, it's like, all right, you got three guys, whether it's Emerson, whether it's Ike, you know, Yedem, or Bud Means, what can you do?
So you don't have Price in that mix at all?
No. But I have him making the team.
Okay.
No, I have him making them team, but
he'll play special teams.
Yeah, he'll play special teams, but not in that role.
Yeah.